welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast on CigarFederation.com. Thanks for tuning in. Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Gurkha Cigars, makers of the finest cigars in the world. Talk to your local B&M, or if your local B&M doesn't have Gurkha, which I don't know how they wouldn't have Gurkha, check out online. There's lots of offerings for you. I am joined, as always, with the MFN CEO, Logan. What's going on in sunny Austin today, brother?
Woo! I don't know if it's very sunny, man.
You got them winters going on already?
We got a good old dose of winters today.
Dose? I woke
up taking the daughter to daycare around, I don't know, 6:45. And let me just say is that we were quite underdressed. It was a balmy 37 degrees.
Wow, that's...
I know, which is very cold for Austin.
That's very cold for Austin. I'm surprised it wasn't like people dying in the streets or something.
Well, then after taking her to daycare and listening to her complain about how cold it was, you know, the entire time, then I went back home and kind of worked from home all day, so I didn't really see any other people or peeps. But I would assume that there was at least three people frozen to death in Austin today.
Yeah, I would think guys walk into the local coffee barista shop and just freezes straight to the sidewalk.
Pretty much, Dan.
37 freedom degrees, of course, is what I look forward to as a high these days. I'm looking forward to the and this is not Cigar Chat anymore. This is Weather Chat brought to you around the world.
It is Weather Chat.
It's Weather Chat. But I was looking at our long-term forecast to see how sharing our pairings is going to look next week. And it's a high of -7.
Dang.
Freedom degrees, not Celsius.
Dude, that's
a little chilly.
That'll bring your balls up a little bit.
But of course, we're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to introduce one of our guests tonight. On, what's going on?
What's happening, man?
Lancero Nation, represent, brother.
I'm going Lancero. How about you guys?
It's a Churchill. It's kind of like a Lancero, but not really.
I'm smoking the Reddit. I'm smoking the Reddit blend, you know, because it's good it's pretty good in the evening. But I don't know, will the numbers tell? Because I know we're going to announce who won the SigFed/Reddit throwdown tonight. All I got to say is there was a lot of similarities between this and the presidential election.
Before we get into that, Logan, maybe we should set the background for our esteemed audience who's tuning in and maybe isn't aware what the Throwdown Project is.
I wasn't
going to
just come out and say it. We're going to make people watch the whole show before we announce it.
You know, I got to pull my Rob roll. I got to wheel it back.
I know. So set some context. My good friend on over there, we were chatting, you know, kind of end of last year, beginning of this year. And I think we were actually, if I remember correctly, I think it was when I was in Chicago and we were at Tessa Cigars and we were kind of just spitballing the idea around and kicking the idea around. But we came up with the idea of, hey, you know, what if we did kind of a throwdown project where, you know, you pick five, the Reddit mod team picks five cigars and Logan would pick five cigars for Cigar Federation. We'd sell it in a 10-pack bundle, and then people would vote on which cigar they liked the best, and then ultimately, whoever had the highest number of votes would be crowned the winner. So we've done that, a very similar project to that with Cigar Dojo in the past, and SigFed won because Logan's and SigFed is awesome, and then this is round two with On. And I don't want you to be on mute the entire time, even though I know it's loud at the shop. Why don't you give everyone the details about the Reddit cigar? And then I'll give the details about the SigFed cigar.
Yeah, with the Reddit cigar, we got a San Andreas wrapper, and it's quite oily, a little bit toothy, and it's pretty good. It's from Black Label Trading Company, which we got a chance to go visit them in February and check out their operations, and it's great to see those guys because they really do a great job with a lot of their tobacco. They have not a huge operation, but with that, they pay attention to the quality. So you get a lot of flavor out of all the various cigars that they make. We had several blends to pick from, so we picked the one with San Andreas just because that one just hit the palate much better. I think all of us that smoked it on the mod team, we universally agreed that this blend was the best of the ones that we tried. So So that was the reason why we picked it. And it's, well, Logan's went out, but mine's still burning, so that's why I'm smoking it.
Well, and if everyone remembers when we kind of kicked off and launched this cigar, this was my blend that I made the royal mistake of letting them pick first, being a gracious host, you know? And, yeah, so then I had to go back to the drawing board and create. I went very much against the grain. Everyone expects me to pick like a very strong, full in strength, heavy in body, kind of powerhouse, pepper bomb, Nicaraguan, you know, tons of pepper, spice.
I mean, that does describe your blending palette pretty accurately.
It does. It does. It does. And I'm not going to lie. Pretty much every Cigar Safari blend I've ever done, pretty much all the color project stuff, not all of it, but most of it. And that's very much where I sat. But I absolutely went against the grain and was like, you know what? I'm going to buck the trend here a little bit. So I came out with a Connecticut Lancero, but I was doing a little different, kind of stepping it up a bit, using some Honduran tobacco, which is outside of my wheelhouse as well. Using some Honduran tobacco. And yeah, so, you know, all in all, I was very happy with the way it came out. I was very happy.
I smoked it, and I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I was outside smoking at 30-some degrees, and, the flavor was there. I was pairing it with some Eagle Rare, and you know, it helped. I was pretty surprised because, you know, Eagle Rare is pretty high, but, you know, that cigar still held through. So I'm pretty impressed with that Connecticut. And I think, you know, as a whole, getting a pack of the throwdowns is a good idea because, I mean, no duds in there, and I haven't had any burn issues. I mean, I think some people reported that some of it had like slight burn issues, or maybe a couple were plugged. But you know, that's the tough part of making Lanceros, I think.
So let me ask you guys this: was it a Lancero project from the very start, or did you guys do any test blends in different vitolas? I know that's probably blasphemy.
No, it was. That was the deal. Is that On's like, hey, we can, you know, you get to pick the factory. You know, you get to pick this and that, but it's going to be in a Lancero. And I was like, you know what? Hey, well, who am I to deny On his favorite pleasure? So it was always in a Lancero. No other test blend in any other size was produced.
And in total, how many total packs were they? There were what? So maybe tell everyone, because you know, for us up in Canada who are maybe not around for this, what was the pack? Were they 5 packs or were they 10 packs?
They were 10 packs with 5 cigars each.
So if you ordered the 10 pack, you got 5 of the Reddit blend and you got 5 of the SigFed blend.
You got it.
And how many of those 10 packs did we roll out the door?
In totos, there was 150, so 1,500 cigars, and then I produced another 500, which people probably figured out pretty quickly, and those went in the Cigar of the Month Club last month. So, but available for sale was 150 packs of 10.
And when did you guys kick off the voting? Like, when was that originally shipped versus when the voting started? Like, how long did you guys give people a chance to smoke those?
I mean, the people ordered them. It was right before... I feel like this was like decades ago, but we sold them the 25th of October, and then we opened up voting November 1st, and then people had all month to vote.
Yep.
Is that right?
And yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's right, because when did we start? Like, so we agreed on the blend sometime in, I think, the winter, and then I think in May we were like, all right, here's the blends. Let's let it age for about – put it in production, age it for about 5 months, and then roll it out. And so by October, I think they were ready to go. And that, yeah, that's when we kicked it off, at the end of October. So hopefully, I mean, I think a lot of people have been smoking it, and I've definitely been giving it out to my friends, especially the ones in Chicago that, you know, never even saw it. I'm like, all right, let's try this out, you know?
And when you guys were talking to James about the blend, did he, I'm assuming he probably had some input and some feedback. What was his, did James end up picking a favorite between the two? Did you get him involved?
Remember I asked him on the last one.
The last cigar chat.
I asked him, and I don't remember. Did he answer?
Yeah, he liked yours better.
I know. That's because Logan's awesome. But did the people? I don't know. That's
you may be the only one that knows, because I definitely don't know.
I know. I haven't told anybody, because I know how the little Reddit mods work on their little IRC back channel chats, because I know if I tell on, then everyone's going to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm keeping it 100% a secret. And I will gladly share the results. So don't think I'm trying to be like shady or anything. I will gladly share the spreadsheet with all folks involved. But until the time comes in which we announce it, I'm not going to tell anyone. But I will say is that this was a quite a hotly contested battle. Just for a little bit of a teaser, on percentage was in terms of votes. Do you think it was 40-60? What do you think the actual breakdown was?
Maybe 52-48, somewhere like that.
Okay. What about you, Surgeon?
Well, I'm going to get surgical with this, no pun intended. I'm going to say 48.6 to 51.4. To math that work out? Math that works out.
So it was actually somehow – well, actually, I need to extend out my decimal points because maybe –
well, first of all, I want to know how many – what was the sample size? So how many people ended up participating in the final
vote count? I will say is that unlike the election that we just had let me just hold on. I got to get more decimal points.
So while Logan does that, I'll just remind our audience you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I'm your host, John, the Cigar Surgeon, joined as always by the MFN CEO, Logan, and our special guest tonight on from Reddit. This episode of Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Try the new 93-rated Heritage today, or if that's not your thing, try the I don't even think it's got a rating, but the Maduro Heritage, which I'm sure your local B&M has that, or a Gurkha sample to suit you. Back to you, Logan. You were working on decimal points. Tell us about those decimal points.
Yeah, so it actually comes out. I'm a little disappointed because we sold all, 150 of the packs. So that means at least 150 available votes. And I know some people did trades and all that kind of stuff. But we had very low vote count. I was very surprised. Only a third of the potential known population came out and vote. We only had 50 votes.
Whoa. Does that mean there's a Logan Electoral College?
I wish, man. The Electoral College would have been actually an interesting idea to apply to this. But we're going straight off the popular vote. And so I did the numbers.
So what you're saying is that one vote, one way or the other, could have swayed this entire process.
It's pretty – not quite. It actually would have been – yeah, actually, no, yeah, you're right. It would have been one vote would have swayed it.
Holy shit. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, pretty much. So one vote would have tied it up. One vote would have tied it up, and another vote would have swung it. So we had 50 total votes. So it was 24-26.
So before we get into the winner, how does
anticipation building.
How does that compare, Logan, with the throwdown projects that have been done in the past? And maybe tell people out there who aren't aware of the previous throwdown projects, first of all, what those throwdown projects were and who the victor was in those past throwdown experiences.
Are you interviewing me right now?
You like it?
Is that what's happening? Because I feel really awkward about it. So in the first one, which came out May-ish of 2015, was between Sig Fed and Cigar Dojo. Exact same concept, except we picked Robustos. Cigars were 100% Aganorsen tobacco. Brand was Viaje. And Sig Fed won by one vote. I feel pretty happy about that one. Because, at the end of the day, Dojo is way bigger than Sig Fed. And I thought our blend was better. But, yeah, so it was really good. It was good. I mean, it's surprising, how close these things actually are, because, these cigars couldn't really have been more opposite. Between us and Reddit, it couldn't have been more opposite. I mean, you have a Connecticut, which is not a mild, Macanudo-type Connecticut, but it's still a Connecticut. And then you've got, a more boutique-y, full-bodied powerhouse kind of thing. And you would think, with the membership on Sig Fed and Reddit, people would pick the Reddit blend, hands down. And I was really surprised how many people picked the Connecticut. And I think it goes to show that, you know, when you have, we have guests on, John and stuff, that talk about, well, you know, 70% of the market's all Connecticut. And I always laugh and I'm like, that's absurd. And no, by no means is it 70%. I still think that's absurd, but
poppycock, good sir. Poppycock.
It's poppycock. But I believe that it's higher than what I had originally expected it to be. And obviously that's kind of, I guess, referenced by the results that we just saw or are going to hear about, I guess.
I mean, I think like one of the industry trends this year is just the release of just more, you know, tastier Connecticuts. You know, traditional Connecticuts are just very light, very mild, and that's for, you know, guys that don't really smoke a lot. But I think guys that smoke a lot now are looking for something that's a little bit meatier, but still having that Connecticut. And I think this year, a lot of companies went out and just went all Connecticut with their new releases. I mean, I think there's been quite a few of these things all over the place. So I think, you know, that's a reflection of the marketplace as well. People are getting used to getting more like a medium Connecticut rather than just your mild, super light, you know, Connecticut.
So on talking about the blending process, when you approached the blending process, did you have a kind of a sense in your head of where you wanted to go with that blend, or did you kind of let the tobacco take you where it was going to take you?
I think we just let Black Label do their thing. You know, I think they make great cigars. Whatever they come out with is going to be tasty. I mean, I don't think they make anything that doesn't have flavor. You know, they don't make duds. So, I mean, I'm pretty impressed with what they come out with. So when we, you know, went with the blending process, it was more let them do their thing. And I think they did their thing pretty well.
What's your favorite Black Label Trading Company release to date?
I'm going to qualify. Black Label Trading Company and Black Works and Colored Project. You got to give all three. Black Works.
Yeah, I mean, right now, my favorite's probably The Last Rites. I love smoking that. I've smoked a ton of those. I think I'm down to my last one or two of them, and I've shared it with a bunch of people because, you know, one of the things I think that is a challenge is if you never heard of a company or you never tried it, sometimes you just got to give it out to people and light it, you know, and make them smoke it. And then so when they smoke it, they go, oh, wow, holy cow, I didn't know that. Because, you know, I spent a lot of time working remote in a cigar lounge, and what I see is guys smoke the same thing every day, day in, day out, and they never switch what they smoke. So change someone's opinion and open their mind to something else is sometimes an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've noticed that is that when I'm not at home, because I've got cigars for days, and I'm going to stand up because I got to plug my heater in because old Jack Frost is starting to come out. Nip my undercarriage a little bit. It's a double-edged sword in this room, John, because it's all insulated. It's real nice. But if I don't have the AC running, and I turn on the fan, but it's still cold, it doesn't blow the smoke. It doesn't smoke, it doesn't blow the smoke out of the room. And if I shut the door, it gets too smoky. Then I'm just, you know, secondhand smoking myself to death. Thanks, Hillary Clinton. And so I got to turn on the fan, but it's a double-edged sword, John.
Well, you could smoke outside like a Texas boss.
I could, but see, Sergeant, here's the difference between me and you, is that you're bundled up on your little porch, your little your man jewels are probably getting a little icicly, you know, and I'm doing pretty good right here, so I think I'll just be a boss in my man cave, also known as the sea cave.
Sea cave. And on I notice you're at a shop tonight. Which shop are you dialing in from this evening?
I'm at the famous Uptown Cigars in Chicago. They've been here for 53 years, so this is where I usually work out of when I'm working remote. So I really like this place. They have a great selection. It's a TAA shop. The guys here know their stuff, so it's a good place to be.
And I'm assuming that the weather in Chicago is probably not much better than the weather up here right now.
This is probably the mildest December 1st I can remember in the last 5 or 6 years. So the weather's pretty good. I mean, yesterday I wasn't even wearing a coat. But today the wind picked up a little bit, so now I have a coat on. So that kind of sucks.
So, when you got a tour, you've obviously done a tour of Fabrico Oveja in Nicaragua. What was your, what was your expectation of the factory? What was your favorite part as you did the tour with James?
I mean, you know, when you look at the outside, you couldn't tell there's a cigar factory in there. And I think that's probably the case with a lot of the smaller factories. But I was really impressed with how clean the place is. I mean, it's immaculate, you know, in terms of there's not tobacco lying around. They're very careful with how they treat the tobacco, and they don't throw it all over the place, and it's very organized. You know, so their process is to take their stuff out and you know, follow their process. And I think, you know, on that day we went, there weren't that many rollers there, but, you know, they're working meticulously and they're working detailed and slow rather than trying to push out, you know, 400 or 500 cigars a day and max that out. You know, they're taking their time and putting that time in to make sure those cigars are burning well and making good quality tobacco. So, I mean, I really liked hanging out there. It was a good place to just hang out, see the operation, and then look at their nice aging room where they stack up a lot of cigars. I mean, despite being small, they have a lot of cigars that they, and it's all made in small batches, which is great, you know, because it's just like they have a lot of different stuff that's going on there at all different price points. So I was really impressed there that we were able to pick up some cigars there as well and just try out a lot of things that they had and stuff that I'd never tried before. And I instantly became a fan, you know.
Logan, what's your favorite release? I've never asked you what's your favorite release from either Black Label or Black Works or the Color Project. I think he's got himself muted.
I actually did my job for once and actually muted myself.
That was well done.
I know. Thank you, sir. I don't know, man. From the – let me think here. So, I mean, I've known about Black Label. I've known about Black Label Trading Company when they had a different owner. And you guys probably didn't know that. There used to be another guy affiliated with James and his wife, but he'll remain nameless. So I've known them for a long time. Sig Fed Store has sold their stuff since day one. I'll be honest, I don't like a lot of their traditional core lines. Like the Salvation, Last Rites is okay. But all of them, when they originally came in, were all in the, you know, it was either a 5x54 or it was a Donkey 6x60. And that just doesn't really blow up my skirt. And the smaller Vitolas, like the Petite Lancero and the Last Rites, like Don's talking about, is legit. I like the little small Royalty Corona. So I would have to say probably the Petite Corona Last Rites and their core lines. In terms of limited editions, I really like the Morphine from 2015.
Hell yeah.
And the Bishop's Blend was, I have now smoked it. It is pretty legit. But they also, I would say probably from Black Label, their favorite stuff they've smoked, and most people don't know this, but they made the Cavatina by Emilio. And holy crap, that's a cigar that no one is going to smoke because no one gives a crap about Emilio cigars anymore. But, dude, that cigar is so wonderful. I'm telling you, it's wonderful.
What's funny about the larger ring gauge stuff is that James is almost exclusively a smaller ring gauge smoker. So it just goes to show you sort of, you know, where his palate, where his preference is versus where the market is, or at least where the market was.
All right. And then Black Works. I mean, everyone goes gaga over the Killer Bee and the Green Hornet. I actually like the NBK. Pretty awesome. And favorite colored project. I mean, all of them are good, but I'd have to say it's a toss up between the Tiger Kitty Soft Paws and Mike Hunt.
Mike Hunt is pretty good. So yeah,
I've
smoked both of them.
I could smoke both at the same time.
I have so much. Post processing to do after this show. It's not even funny.
It's Mike Hunt. That's his name, Michael Hunt.
So much post processing. Just remind your audience, you tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast on around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who are tuned in wherever you are in the world. Hope you're being entertained for this 58 minutes of cigar debacle. This segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis. Cigar Oasis, the leader and innovator in cigar humidification. Are your cigars protected? You should find out. If you have a Cigar Oasis, you can set it and forget it. Do it today. Find out more at Cigar Oasis.
What about you, John? What's your favorite Black Label? Because I know you've worked to bring them into Canada, right?
Yeah, I was so. Good, yeah, so they'd reached out to me last year because for those of people that aren't aware of the socialistic communistic government system that we have here when it comes to tobacco.
Hey, but you got free healthcare.
Well, it's not free, as my paycheck repeatedly tells me as I look at my deductions. Okay.
But you don't have to pay at the hospitals.
That is correct. It is a universal health care, and it not to get political, but it ends up working out less. We pay less per person.
It's probably true.
Yeah, well, it is true. It's like less. It's significantly less per person than what you pay for privatized healthcare. But getting back to the cigar, bringing it back to the cigars.
Listen, we just can't talk about cigars. We got to like mix it up a little bit.
Mixing it up, you know, stirring the pot. Yep. So much like the FDA has rules in place, at least for now, where cigars have to go through an approval process. Well, that process has been in place in Canada for many, many years. So you can't just market a product in Canada. You actually, first of all, have to put that product through process approval. You have to have an importer and distributor that manages that product for you. And all of that costs money. And you think about, you know, there's only about 34 or 33.5 million people in Canada. There's not 33 million smokers. There's probably, you know, if I said generously there's 1 million smokers in Canada, I think I'd be out to lunch. There's probably 250,000, maybe 350,000 cigar smokers in Canada. So that's a very small segment of the market. I mean, that's probably less than the number of cigar smokers in Ohio.
Yeah, but dude, considering your weather, I think that's pretty good.
Well, you know, we drink and we smoke, and it's the winters are long and cold, and we do what we can. So they had asked me about getting into the market, and I kind of provided some contacts for them to get in touch with, and now we're carrying their products, not at all of our 16 shops, because as expected, the moment their product was announced, all the boxes sold through in, I think, about 3 weeks, which is fantastic. So hoping the product replenishes in the market. But much like Alan, I was kind of a big fan of the Last Rites, and I was actually a big fan of the regular production line. The morphine is definitely legit. There was no question. I know that James got a lot of flack for the name, which I thought was pretty stupid, because you look at some of the naming conventions that are on the market, especially today.
I could.
Wow, so much editing. You know, morphine is not even top 10, you know, worst cigar names on the market in terms of being offensive.
I've got 7 of the top 10, and I'm proud of that.
Now, I haven't smoked the Bishop's Blend. I haven't smoked the MBK. As you're aware, Logan, I went deep on the Killer Bee and the Green Hornet.
You went quite deep, my friend.
I went deep. Now, the funny thing about that is that was actually a fat finger as I was on the SigFed store putting in my order. I actually somehow doubled. I think I double added it.
You doubled it on purpose.
I didn't double it on purpose, but after smoking them, I'm glad. It was a very fortuitous mistake on my part, because I'm happy to have them. And obviously, you know, I don't go down to the United States all the time, so it was nice to get those. But on my last trip to Esteli, which was not too long ago, I had to get my weasel on, so I went to Fabrico Veja, and I said, James, I'm down in Nicaragua, bro. You got to hook me up with a bit. I was absolutely shameless and weaseled hard, and James was good. He hooked me up with a Bishop's Blend. He hooked me up with an MBK. So I'm really looking forward to the Bishop's Blend. I mean, if Charlie Minato gives it a 94, I mean, you know it's got to be a good cigar, because Charlie doesn't give out 94s.
I know.
Especially for a non-advertising partner.
No. Charlie, yeah. No, it's very true. It is very true.
So I'm very much looking forward to smoking that.
That's a good score. That's a great score.
That's a sick Fed 99.
I think that's the top score of the year, probably. I mean, I don't think, you know, they've given a 95, 96 this whole year.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, most of the stuff's been coming in around 90, 91 at most.
At best.
Yeah.
Or you get like a 76 if your friend's Candela, which, whatever. Neither here nor there.
Which cigar got 76?
That was the GB19. I was actually talking to Dave Burke, who runs the Cigar Jukebox, and he rages on Candelas. He's apparently a Candela fiend.
So weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot of people that are super keen on the Candelas, but he just rages for days, and he said the GB19, he smoked that, and he was in love, absolutely in love.
Mm.
But I like what and I got to see the process when I was at the Fabrico Veja. They were showing how they do the
Candelas.
Yeah, when they do the Candela, and I like that. I mean, it's just, I'm not really a Candela. Like, I don't like Candelas wrappers in general. I don't like Candela blends. There's been some exceptions that have been very good, like the pickle juice and the, what was the other Moira Ruiz one that was super good?
That wasn't, the pickle juice was the Candela, but I mean, one of the people that really done a Candela that I can remember, Luzion does one, or did one, and then Andre Farkas.
Dion could roll a horse turd and it'd be tasty.
other than the Singular Rose Croix. Not so good, my humble opinion. Because they taste like paper, man. There's nothing to them.
I just tried their Illusione 33. That one's awesome. I think that's probably the best ring, you know, best cigar at 33 ring gauge.
That's a Lancero?
No, it's a 33. No, it's like 33 ring gauge. So it's like super tiny. And there's a lot of flavor in there, surprisingly, because, I mean, when you have that little leaf to work with, you shouldn't be able to get that much flavor out of it, but surprisingly, it works.
Very cool.
Well, yeah, like I said, what I think is good about the Killer Bee and the Green Hornet is that it's just, for me, it's just enough Candela to give you a hint of Candela. It doesn't take over the flavor profile, and you kind of get that hint of Candela, and it's gone. Which is just the way I like my Candelas.
You like just the tip of the Candela.
Just the tip. Just for a second.
And then just we to move see on. How it feels for
then
a
we
second,
can stop.
And then you move.
So getting back to the voting, getting back to the throwdown, who is the first person to vote, Logan, and who is the last person to vote?
Well, the first person to vote was me because I set up the page.
did you have an order number?
Who was the last? Yeah, actually, I did. No, actually, I didn't. It was, I think my response in the order number was, I own this bitch. That was my answer. So Logan doesn't need it. I know that was blatant right there.
I don't know if this is going to make the Armed Forces Radio Network tonight. I'll be honest.
I think it probably will, John. That's why we pay you the big bucks, sir.
The big bucks. That's why I drive that Lambo.
Are you driving the Lambo?
Driving the Lambo.
Where's you here? Who was the last person to vote? I'm pulling that up right now because that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. So I'm guessing it's probably someone from Reddit. A Reddit voter would be my guess. Anyone, any under over on that?
I think it's going to be a SIGFED member because SIGFED likes to leave everything to the last minute. That's my guess.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Drop it.
All right, here we go. You see.
Well, while you're looking that up, maybe I'll get on to talk about something more interesting than you waiting for the data to pull up on. What was the
being so rude tonight? I wish Rob would come back.
You're so feisty. You drove Rob away. This is what you're stuck with. So, on what was the discussion like on Reddit when people were posting about the their smoking experiences? Because we haven't really talked about what the Reddit take was.
Yeah, I think people like embraced both of them. They were surprised by how good the Connecticut was. I think there was some commentary that I think some of the Connecticuts were slightly plugged. And that's just, you know, the nature of making handmade products.
I mean,
with Lanceros, you know, because you need a person with big hands to roll it, you need just the right amount of tension when you roll that thing. Either you roll it too tight or you roll it too loose. And I can see, you know, that's always a problem that's going to come with Lanceros. But I haven't really run into that problem that people had, so... I mean, I've smoked quite a few of them, and they haven't had that problem with me. But, you know, overall, I think people like the San Andreas a little bit more. But then again, you know, that's also because that's the Reddit blend. So maybe people, you know, just like it because it's Reddit. But also, you know, there was respect for the Connecticut, too. So I don't think it was all, no, not every Reddit person voted for the San Andreas, you know, because there was a lot of love for the Connecticut, too. So, but for me, it's just, I think good thing it does, I think, you know, a lot of people on Reddit never had smoked Black Label. So I think getting it in their hands is a big deal to make sure that, hey, this is a really good company out there. They put their heart and soul into the work. And, you know, it's the people in Nicaragua doing this stuff and making some great cigars. So a lot of credit to James and his crew out at Black Label.
So
drop it. What do you got, Logan?
David Zeller. And he was definitely voting for Reddit.
There you go.
Slew on the 29th. There was like about, I don't know, like five or six SIGFED votes in a row, and I was feeling real positive. I feel like we were down. SIGFED was down. Didn't I tell you that yesterday? I was like, yeah, we're down by like two or three or whatever. And you were like, oh, man, there's no way. How are you down, man? We will see. So anyways, We gotta kill some more time because we gotta have people in suspense. But
Logan, maybe you should tell our audience who this last segment is brought to us by.
Our last segment is brought to us by John's Menstrual Cycle because he is being 100% a meanie tonight, and he didn't even laugh at that. That was so good. Our last statement is brought to us by our good friends at Drew Estate. Drew Estate, they're good. Download that app and smoke that year of the rat. Hatfield just gave it a 90, an 89.
True Which, statement. Again, I think is that's pretty high praise. Because I can't even remember the last time a league had broken 87, actually. Yeah. True story.
I don't know.
Don't we have Reddit Cigar Safari, SigFed Cigar Safari coming up at some point in the near future, Logan?
Yeah, I'm just lazy, John. I think you told me you didn't have any faith in me today before the show. Just everyone knows
I had to get them lit up, get them all excited.
I don't know how I got you're all excited, but yeah, no, we do have one. The funny thing is, which I think is quite hilarious, is I've been teasing this thing for almost a month now, and haven't emailed the masses about it, haven't done anything, and we've literally got half the trip already booked. So my goal, and that remains to be seen, is to actually email it out. There's not going to be any of this stuff like last year where it the last 2 years actually where it's like, oh, email me back and I'll pick someone who's worthy. Nope. You got cash, you going. That's all I got to say about that. It's March 15th through the 18th, and we may organize a day or two extra stay over in Managua. Ta-da! So we'll see.
Will there be any house building this year?
There will be
coconut shovels.
Coconut shovels, dog. No, there will be no house building. I really appreciate all the donations last year with Project Manana. And I was really pissed at the FDA because we did three annual fundraisers in a row and it was great. And we gave a bunch of money to Project Manana. And then last year we gave $10,000 to Techo and we built five houses in the Oscar Gomez neighborhood. And it was great. It felt really good. But I was pissed at the FDA. But I got to be honest, in hindsight, it was kind of a blessing in disguise because then I didn't have to raise money to go build more houses. Because needless to say, they don't need more houses. They need us to invest in some power tools because that was some manual work. Me and On were about to die.
That was some backbreaking work. I mean, you know, you're taking a post digger and that's basically a stick with a spike on it and dig that five feet in the ground times 20. Sometimes you dig 5 feet down. Sometimes you dig 15 feet down, depending on how it's landed the ground was. And then after that, it was easy. But that, you know, digging those holes took like 2 days. I mean, that was crazy.
Really did.
I mean, and then the house you were working on almost didn't even get finished.
I want to say everyone has given me so much crap because I fell asleep in our people's house. And everyone has given me so much crap. But after looking at our work site, it cannot be denied that we were literally building this house on a mountain. Like, I'm not kidding. It was like this. And they had no levels, no nothing. They were building the foundation. And by foundation, I mean six or seven. Actually, you're right. It's 12 poles in the ground. We literally, it looked so cockeyed. And they were like literally using like a water level, like freaking Egyptians. I mean, it worked, obviously, because it was level. But I mean, it was crazy. I mean, we were digging down 6 feet in like, I'm talking like straight up bedrock, And oh man, so yeah, no buckets, had to take a little nap.
Yeah, that ground wouldn't be good for anything.
Dirt. Oh, grand. Why are you saying, Sergeant?
But I would say the end was great in terms of like, I mean, when we gave the keys to the old lady whose house it was going to be, I mean, she was crying. She was really grateful for all of our work. I mean, all we did was like work there for 2 days, but we built them a house that doubled the size of their house. I mean, you're talking about people with a tin roof, dirt floor, wooden planks for the walls that looked like if you kicked it, you probably could have knocked down the wall. I mean, it was real poverty. I've never seen poverty like that before.
It wasn't messing around.
Yeah, it was for real. Maybe that's why they didn't have power tools. I mean, they had one light bulb if they were lucky.
Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, most people in America, I mean, most people in the U.S., like, you don't have it where you have, like, some sort of wall between you and the outside. This, there was no wall. Had it rained, all the water would just come running into your house. There was literally your house to flow the water out to somewhat of a I wouldn't even call it a sewer. It's more of a ditch, but to funnel all the water out that ran through their house when it rained. And needless to say, Nicaragua gets a decent amount of rain. There is a rainy season. So, I don't know. It was good times. It was good times.
I was certainly happy to finish the houses, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very happy about the medicinal Florida Canyon and the whiskey that everyone brought after the fact.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of true.
So, getting back to the brother?
We're not going to tell who's going to win tonight.
We're not going to tell them tonight.
That's not why we're here.
That's why I know we're here.
Surgeon, tell me the best cigar you've smoked this year. Give us a little teaser on your top 10.
Well, I think anyone who's been paying attention should not only be able to tell me what cigar that was, they should also be able to correctly say the name of the company that made that cigar. And I know I've got Ons approval because it's a Hammer Lancero. It is not Hammer and Sickle.
Was it?
Cubaraqueño.
I knew that.
Yeah, that one's good.
Protocol. I didn't really like it.
Quadruple Ligero, Lancero. What's not to like?
Burn straight, surprisingly.
Burn straight, great.
I'm not like here to knock people or anything, but like I like what they do. Like, but it's just it's not right in the Lancero for me. Like when I smoked the Toro when I was in Bangalore on top of my hotel, trying not to work, and I was listening to the Muslim mosque music in the freaking background. It was trippy. But I was smoking the Protocol Toro, dude, it was money. I just think a lot of the flavor gets lost because you can't like leaves a Ligero or four different Ligeros into a Lancero. It just doesn't work, man.
I don't know. Somehow Hector did that, but I think it's also a testament of how much better the production at Lizona is compared to even last year. I mean, you know, their stuff is coming out and starting to see the consistency is there. They're making the Lancero. That was really good. I just bought a box of the La Bamba 601 Warhead 3s, which probably IPCPR. That might have been my favorite cigar coming out of that.
I saw them out. Have you smoked it yet?
I've not smoked it since July. I just got it in like a couple days ago.
Okay.
When I was down in Miami, I met up with Hector Alfonso, and I think I smoked like 12 or 13 cigars while we were there. The Warhead was not one of them, but I was a big fan of everything I smoked. I mean, Lizona is so hot right now, and we've talked about they were kind of, not only for the regular production stuff that they're doing, but a lot of the collaboration stuff that's coming out of the factory. I mean, you know, not only do they land on my top 10 list for production of the Protocol, but they're going to land on my list for notable mentions for cigar factories for the year, no question.
Yeah, man. That's how you roll.
What about you, Logan? The Warhead 3 was probably your favorite cigar this year. What do you got? What is your favorite? You're pretty discerning palate, Logan. You don't like a lot of things.
No, I actually hate most everything. I don't want to be cliche with my answer, but dude, the Tabernacle, I mean, that's just a fantastic smoke.
Have you smoked the Tabernacle Lancero?
I did, and I don't like it as much as the Toro.
Something's wrong with you, man. That Tabernacle Lancero was like a heater.
Good, no, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I like
that
it.
That wrapper is so good.
I'll show you my order history. I just bought a box, but I like the Toro better. I like the Toro better. But I don't want to be cliche with that. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, honestly, the Illusion 10 was pretty good. It was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I haven't tried that one yet. I mean, I'll give Warps mad credit for the Maestro del Tiempo. That 6002R,
that thing was amazing.
That is head and shoulders above. Like, that's probably my favorite cigar of the year, hands down. But definitely the best coming out of the show, which I got my hands on, was the Warhead 3. But that Aganorsa tobacco and that Medio Tiempo is something else. I mean, it's just leaves just a satisfying taste on your palate that's just overwhelmingly awesome. I mean, I there's not enough superlatives I could give to that cigar. It burns straight. It's delicious, and it just does the trick. I mean, I must have bought like 50 of those things because I just knew if I ran out of them, I'd be really upset about it.
I bought a 10-pack, and I think I ended up smoking 6 of them in 1 week. Like, I just couldn't. I couldn't. Like, I'd smoke one, and then be like, I got to smoke another one. Like, you just can't stop smoking them. Aganorsa!
Dude, Aganorsa makes some good stuff, but I'm on a – I don't smoke much Warped. I do not. But hey,
you hate
cigars. Each of their own on the one.
Yeah.
I don't hate cigars. I actually love Aganorth and tobacco. I don't know. I think even though this did release was the, was the Shallow Gene Pool from Roma Craft. That was pretty good.
Is that a store exclusive?
Yeah, well, it was originally a store exclusive like a year and a half ago or a year ago for, was it Riverside Cigar and Cigar Hustler? It was one of the two. I know it was Riverside, or what's the one in Houston? Sirius. For Sirius and Riverside Cigar.
Casa de Monte Cristo?
Do you mean Altadas? I couldn't remember what you said. So for them, and it was good. Like, I love the Neanderthal, but the HN or whatever, that's just a donkey. Like, it's not that big of a ring gauge, but like when you smoke it, like you're consuming probably, I'm just guessing, probably like 6 times the nicotine in a normal cigar. And I'm a nicotine junkie by trade. Like, I love nicotine. But good God, I mean, it'll make my head spin sometimes. And the Shallow Gene Pool was just, you know, I think it was like a 4.5 by 52 or 4.5 by 50, I don't remember the exact ring gauge, but it just smoked better. It was not as overwhelming. It was just delicious. And I'm trying to think what else I smoked that I really enjoyed from this year.
Did you smoke any of the Cornelius and Anthony stuff from the show?
I did. I didn't like the Daddy Mac. I didn't like the original Cornelius, but dude, that Vengazi, woo, that was delish.
I'd say that Herrera Esteli Miami, I think, is really, really good. And it just started hitting the shops out now. And I'm a huge fan of that blend.
It was fantastic. Really good. And
that's El Titan Magic, you know? Really? I mean, if you like stuff like coming out of El Titan, you're going to love that Esteli Miami. I mean, it goes back to the world. So I think it's a great cigar. And I bought a lot of that as well. And I like that more than the TA blends, which the TA blend was really good too, but I haven't smoked Lancero coming out of Stogie, so I've got that. So I'm looking forward to smoking that as well.
Yeah, I think the Lonsdale used to be my favorite Herrera Esteli, and when that Miami edition came out, that Miami edition is like 2 or 3 notches above that Lonsdale. It was.
Are you talking about the limited edition Lancero? Because I love that cigar.
Yeah, the limited. No, Ann's talking about the limited edition. We're talking about the Miami edition that came out at the show.
I'm talking about, I like the Herrera, just the Herrera Esteli, the limited edition Lancero from like, was it 2014 or whatever? I think that was the best one ever.
Surprisingly, I didn't like it when it came out. I smoked like 4 or 5 of them and I was like, it's okay. And then we went down to Nicaragua and I smoked it again. And then I was like, okay, time to buy another box. And luckily I was able to hunt it down at the shop. So that was a good thing, but. Yeah, that's also a great blend for them.
All right, Logan, I think it's probably time to start talking about who the winner. There's no losers because, you know, they're both great cigars, but there can be only one. And I'm curious as to who that one is and how many votes were cast and what that percentage was. Maybe you should tell us exactly what those percentages were and work backwards from there.
All right. Well, first of all, before we do that, we'll go ahead. Are we running out of time? Is that why you're hustling me along, Surgeon?
No, I'm just hustling you on. Keep you on point.
Okay. So before we do that, I want to say, John, I want you to tell me who you think won and why.
Well, if I had to look at the two blends blind, although Connecticut Shade takes 70-75% of the market, I think that the San Andreas Maduro wrapper is kind of been the industry gold standard for probably the last 2 years in terms of you put a San Andreas Maduro wrapper on something, and in a lot of cases you don't even really need to have a great blend. It's going to sell well because it's been a very popular wrapper. He gives San Andreas Negro to James Brown, a Black Label, and he's going to work some magic with it. So, you know, I can see why that would have been your first choice, because that would have been my first choice if I was going to James and saying, hey, make me a blend. Give me that special sauce. Give me a San Andreas Maduro wrapper. Done. That would be a no-brainer, especially the Lancero, because you're going to get so much of that San Andreas influence on the Lancero versus, you know, something larger like a 5x50 or something like that. You're going to get a lot more in the Lancero from the wrapper. So my gut says San Andreas Maduro has got to be the winner.
Okay. On?
I would go with John Sentiments exactly. I think, you know, especially with Black Label and how they do, this comes out super, super tasty. And I think the depth of flavor from that San Andreas gives it a slight edge. It's also tasty. I mean, to your credit, that's a great blend as well.
So I'm glad you guys have such a vote of confidence in my blend. I really appreciate it.
Well, I haven't smoked either of them because they never made it into a Canadian care package. So just throwing that out there.
Oh, did they not? Hey, man, well, if you weren't making all the mods leave at, like, a freaking lightning rate, maybe I'd have the funds to send you up something, John. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all
I was actually
fault.
Waiting. You know what I did, John, and I can't believe I'm even going to admit this, is that I actually saved you out a whole bundle, and I was actually going to wait until Cigar Safari because I don't trust the mail.
Aww.
But now that you've called me out in front of 3.2 million people, I'm just going to have to let those babies fly up there and just customs be damned. Like, we're just have to let it go.
Hey, I'm just saying, I got a package from Dunburton Tobacco and Trust, and I don't know how it made it, but not only did it make it, but that baby sailed through in, like, I want to say 5 or 6 days. So
that's
maybe
Saka put the special sauce on it.
Saka got the special sauce. He like sprinkled on there. He like worked the magic with the post office and that. Like I don't even think I can get a package in Canada that fast. And somehow I got a cigar package in Canada that fast. It was pretty remarkable when I saw it in my mailbox.
Pretty remarkable. So I loved both blends, obviously, because I had originally in my head picked the Reddit blend because, you know, whatever. But finally, here's the results. Without further ado, there was 50 votes cast, in which 24 were casted
50
for one
exactly.
side. 50 exactly.
Wow.
24 were cast for one side. 26 were cast for the other side, making it an even 48% to 52%. So two votes would have swung it.
I think Alan called
and
that.
And the winner is, I know he did. Without further ado, the winner of the – well, first of all, appreciate everyone playing. It was a good time had by all. We'll definitely do this again. Without further ado, the winner of the Cigar Federation Reddit Throwdown Round 2, 2016. Reddit.
Yeah. W.
Wow. Unseated the champion.
Unseated the champion. But hey, you know what? I don't feel bad about it because for two reasons. One is that you guys picked the blend I was going to pick. So that means you guys obviously have very good palates. Two, that a Connecticut. And I was trying to, after you guys took that blend, I was trying to go squirrely. I'm like, I'm just going to go like high and right and just come up with something crazy. 24 votes. I mean, it blows me away. Like, I'm actually happier. I don't even care that I lost. Normally, I'd be really upset. And John, you know me. Like, I'd usually be really butthurt about something like this.
Yeah, you're not exactly what I would call a non-competitive guy. When it comes to competition, you're either first or you're last.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby, baby. But I usually be like you said, very competitive, and I'm not even upset that I lost. Like the fact that the Connecticut did that well is a win for me. It's a win. So hats
yeah, it was,
off.
It was a great cigar.
To you on in Mod Crew and Reddit. We will do another dance.
I'm down.
Because we got blends parked, my friend. Just a little teaser.
So
new Vitola, baby.
So two things, quick questions before we wrap it up tonight for both of you. First, if you had to do it again and you can't choose a Lancero and you can't choose the Connecticut Shade or the San Andreas Maduro wrapper, what Vitola, what wrapper are you going to go with? On, we'll start with you.
Might be, well, would it be the same company or a different company?
Let's assume it's Black, just for sake of argument.
For sake of argument.
Fabrico of a Black Label Trading Company.
Let's say go with Connecticut Broadleaf and go with the Lonsdale. You know, that you sneak extra leaves in there, and you can add a lot more heat to that cigar with that extra you know, ring gauge. You can definitely squeeze in one, maybe two leaves extra, and that gives you even more complexity, and then you can put in a little bit more Ligero in there too, which I think that would make it, like, really, really awesome.
So, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, assuming it was Black Label, I would do a Corona Gorda, 5.5 by 46. I'd probably do a Corojo wrapper, probably a little bit of Esteli and Condega in the filler with a nice, fat, juicy leaf of Esteli Medio Tempio. Yeah.
Do you want to know what I would pick?
Yeah, actually, I was actually getting ready to ask you, jerk.
6x60.
Yeah, that's right. 6x60 box press. No, I would actually go with a I think I would also go with a Corona Gorda, but with a soft box press, because, you know, I love that box press. And he's done some soft box presses. So yeah. I would say soft box press, Corona Gorda. I would use an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, because, you know, I got to have that Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. And then Connecticut broadleaf in the filler.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Just mixing it up, dude.
Just going crazy. And I'm going to hold back what I'd use for a binder, but I've been giving it a thought ever since I was at the Fabrico Veja.
Let me guess. Indonesian.
I can't tell you, dog. It's a secret.
Good. That would be good.
What I'll tell you, there'd be some jalapa in the filler as well, because I love that jalapa.
I know. Oh, hey, all I gotta say is, FDA, I know how to read a deeming document. We got blends parked. Don't be surprised if you see another Reddit SigFed throwdown. Just saying.
Stay tuned. I want to thank all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there on the world wherever you are stationed. Hope you are staying safe and have been entertained for this 58 minutes. If you have a chance to get some Black Label Trading Company or Black Works cigars, make sure to do so, because they're very tasty. We'll be back at our regular scheduled time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard next week with someone you might have heard of him, kind of a, you know, someone in the industry. You may have heard of him by the name of Steve Saka, Dunburton Tobacco and Trust. He'll be our special guest next Thursday. And we will be back with a special pre-record, so I don't freeze off my twig and berries. We're going to have Trent back to guest co-host. Trent's going to be back. Trent is going to be back to guest co-host to sharing our pairings. So look for that next Wednesday at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Mountain, which is the only time that matters, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. Any parting words there, Logan?
My hat's off to Black Label Trading Company and Reddit. It was a well-fought battle. And yeah, just a good smoke, man. I hope you guys enjoyed the smokes. Hope you got enough to last you, because you're never going to see those again. And yeah, man, hope everyone just enjoyed it. It was a fun time. Thanks, On, for doing it with us. And we got to do a rematch, man. That's it. It's going to have to happen.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend and stay safe.
Come on. Yep, I lost.
Well, at the end of the day, we came out with some really good cigars.
Like a little baby. What did you say?
Mad props to James.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking great. Like, it turned out really well. I mean, and I'm not, like I said, when we were talking on, like, when you're like, pick a Lancero, I was like, no, man, don't pick a Lancero. And I'm not, like I said, I've never been a huge Lancero fan. Like, but I mean, the smokes turned out fucking wonderful. And, you know, I couldn't have dreamed it turning out any better. So I'm like, I'm fucking stoked for it. I'm happy. Very happy.
And John will get you some soon. Yeah, you'll have to pay the Canadian customs.
Yeah, dude, I'm super excited, because, you know, it's obviously hard to get a lot of that super boutique-y stuff up here. So whenever the opportunity, I mean, Black Label, when I heard the Bishop's blend was coming out, I think I was talking to Logan about that. I think I literally pulled the trigger on the Killer Bee and the Green Hornet to be shipped to my hotel in Miami. And then it was like the next morning that the email went out on the Bishop's blend. So I kind of missed my window.
Now. I remember
that's
that.
How she goes.
That's how it goes, ma'am. You and you live up in, you know, Canada. So speaking of, like, I've always wondered, I know since you're a little bit higher up on the earth in terms of
altitude.
So
what, there's
latitude. So latitude. So does it like get light at like 9 a.m. and then like get dark at like 4? At like on December 24th, which should be your shortest day. Is that correct? Or is it the 26th?
Yeah, the equinox. No, the equinox is probably going to be around the 22nd or the 23rd. So I think right now, okay, sunup is like currently today, I think sunup's at like 8:15 mountain time, the only time that matters. And then sundown is basically sun's going down at 4:45.
Holy moly.
But the flip side of that is, you know, when it gets warm, and I appreciate when it gets warm, sunup's at like 6 a.m. and sundown is like 10:30, 11 at night. So that makes for that makes for a really nice smoking day, because you can light up a cigar at 9:30 at night and still be warm, have sunshine, and smoke smoke a whatever, a Corona, and still have sunshine by the time you finish.
So like during the wintertime, do you review a lot less cigars? Because I imagine like the cold starts impacting those cigars pretty badly.
It absolutely does. I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, my nose is running, so it makes it really tough to retrohale. I think I've got right now, I think I've got like 9 cigar reviews in the hopper, because I went on a tear like before I went to Nicaragua, and just, I mean, you know, I'm a good soldier for Cigar Federation. I think I have at least 9 or 10 in the hopper. And I'm probably going to have a blackout period for December, because I think the average high, looking at the 14-day, 24-day, 21-day forecast, the average daily high is 0 degrees freedom. And the average daily low goes down to about minus 11 freedom. But once we turn the corner, there's a weird thing about Calgary. Starting January 1st, we've had January 1st, we've had like periods, 2-week periods in January, where it's been upwards of 60 to 70 degrees.
I remember that. Like, didn't you have that last year?
Yeah, we had that last year. In fact, both January and March of last year had higher average monthly temperatures than June.
Dang, sir.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, and given how long you smoke, I mean, I can't imagine you could commit, you know, 1.5, 2 hours freezing when it's -7 out. I've done that before, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, your taste buds just stop working. I mean, you really can't give a cigar a decent review at, I mean, really, I think once you start going down below 15 degrees, you really can't review a cigar.
No.
Because, I mean, you got burn issues, you got, it's really tough to taste anything. The air is obviously super thin. There's, like, I think the average humidity right now is like 12%. And cigars aren't meant to be smoked in a 12% humidity environment. Like I guarantee you that if I went down to Arizona and smoked a cigar, it would taste completely different than if I smoked at Miami.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I'm in a lounge.
Yeah, if we had the ability to have lounges up here, I mean, because really, I think Chicago weather in wintertime is kind of similar to Calgary, where, you know, it gets cold, it gets unpleasant. You don't want to be sitting outside smoking a cigar. But, you know, with the smoking environment being what it is, we can't have a lounge up here. If we had a lounge, I'm confident that our lounges would be packed all day long, and I would be happy for it.
Yes, sir.
So that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't got much else, you know, other than good job on Reddit team. You got good pallets. Stealing my blame.
This happened, man. And without you, this wouldn't happen. So
I'm just the guy that puts shit together, man. And then we don't ship out the orders, and everyone hates me. Hey, what can I do? I'm only one man over here.
Public service announcement that it is currently 14 days until Rogue One airs in theaters. 14 days.
I bet Rob's over there jacking off.
Rob bought his tickets last night at 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
That's crazy.
I think I'm probably going to see it 3 or 4 times.
You're in Krill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. What about you, Juan? You going to get your tickets for Rogue One?
Yeah, I'll definitely see that movie a couple times as well. And then, definitely, you know, 3D and all that stuff. You got to do it up.
All right. So everyone out there, hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe. And thanks for tuning in for our 71 minutes of this cigar chat. We'll be back next week at a regular scheduled time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I will be bundled up. It'll be worth the price of admission, obviously, to see Steve Stocca, but it'll also be worth the price of admission to see me smoking a cigar in minus 10 degree Fahrenheit weather. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to be bundled to the nines, but I'm going to do it. It'll probably be the coldest cigar chat that I think I've ever participated in and smoked in. So that'll be worth the price of admission for sure.
You're in such a good mood too. It'll be awesome.
I'll be in a fantastic mood. Absolutely.
I hope so.
So what's the Bob Barker sign off that you always like to use, Logan?
Hey, see you later, everyone. Don't forget to have your pet spayed or neutered.